In this section, Paul deals with the Judaizers who came into the church of Corinth and were trying to take over. And Paul expresses here, on the one hand, his tender concern for the Corinthians, but his utter disdain for what the Judaizers and the false apostles were doing. Let's begin by reading verse 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you.
Let's pray.
Father, we ask that you would help us to understand this portion of your word, Lord. And Father, help us to see the heart of Paul and his love for your work in the city of Corinth. And we pray, Father, that we would love the work of God and the church of God in the same way that Paul did. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul tells us in verse 13 that he was not going to boast of things without his measure, nor would the other apostles do it. And what Paul was speaking here was about the boastings of the false apostles who came into Jerusalem. They had a very corrupting influence on the church. We saw last week in verses 9 and 10, that these men were slandering the apostle Paul. They said that his letters were weighty and powerful, but in bodily presence he's weak. He's nobody to even consider. And then Paul tells us what their methodology was. In verse 12, they made themselves of a very special number. They made their own little group, their own little clique. And they made up their own little rules for how that little group, that number, was to operate. And then they judged themselves by how well they kept the rules that they made up. And they commended themselves and they measured themselves among themselves by their own man-made measurements, their own yardsticks. And Paul says, what they're doing is not wise at all. Now Paul is about to draw a very straight line in the sand. And he's going to draw a line between the true apostles on the one hand and the false apostles on the other. Now notice in verse 13, Paul speaks about things without our measure. And I believe he's referring here to a non-authentic measuring stick, which is what the Judaizers were using. They were talking about things that were really beyond God's measurement, God's standards. They had gone well beyond what God says in his word. And this was their own yardstick. They made up these extra rules, these rules that went beyond God's canon or God's yardstick. These false teachers were not sent by God. They were not true apostles, and Paul's going to get into that in the next chapter. They sent themselves. They made up their own rules, their own ministry. And now we see that they were making up their own parameters to their ministry. And they said, Paul is speaking sarcastically about what they did, they were boasting of things that were really without or beyond the proper measurement. Now, Paul said he would not do that. Paul wouldn't go beyond the moral principles that God has recorded in his word. And Paul certainly wouldn't go beyond the physical boundaries or the physical parameters of his ministry to which God had called them. For example, I think it might help us to turn to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 6, God set the measurement, God set the boundary line, God set the parameters of the ministry of the apostles. And in chapter 16, in verse 6, it says, Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now Paul and the other apostles were conducting their apostolic ministry, And God set the boundary lines exactly where he wanted them to go. God set the measurement of exactly what he wanted them to preach and how he wanted them to behave. And now God is telling Paul and the other apostles here not to go into one region, into Asia, but rather they were to go to Macedonia. In other words, as Paul viewed his ministry, God was in charge of everything. And Paul was not going to boast of anything that was beyond the measurement that God set for him, for his life, for his ministry, and what he wanted Paul to do. But this is what the Judaizers were doing. They were going beyond what God said. They were going beyond a proper measuring stick. Now back in 2 Corinthians 10, we see also in verse 13, in the middle of the verse, Paul says, "But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us." Paul was not going to concern himself about measurements that are beyond where God had appointed him. He wasn't going to go sticking his nose in other men's ministries. But that's exactly what the Judaizers were doing. God is the one that distributed the measure of the rule here. And this word for rule is the word canon. And it means a yardstick or a measurement. God had measured out exactly what Paul was to preach and exactly where he was to go. God was in charge of all of it. And so Paul wasn't going to boast about saying, "Well, I went beyond that and I did something extra." Because it's not wise to go beyond what God says to do. Paul was not going to stick his nose in anybody else's ministry. But on the other hand, nor was he going to sit by idly as the Judaizers came into his ministry in Corinth and attempted to disrupt the work of God. You see, God drew up all the plans for his ministry. God called Paul. God gave him a message. He sent him to Corinth. And this was most definitely Paul's ministry. And now these other men were coming in. And Paul describes, he paints a picture of his heart for us. Paul was going to guard the church at Corinth with all that he had. He was going to protect the ministry and the region, the measurement to which God had called him. And he's acting like a shepherd here. The shepherd was going to concern himself about the flock that God sent him to. He wasn't going to go beyond that to someone else's region. But he was going to zealously protect this flock. And notice what he says at the end of verse 13. He says, "A measure to reach even to you." The measurement, this boundary, the parameters of God, of Paul's ministry, reached all the way to Corinth. This really was Paul's ministry. It reached unto Corinth. Paul had an important part to play in that church. He started that work. Paul was the one that preached the gospel there. And the implication here is obvious. After Paul got the work going, and after Paul preached the gospel there and led so many to the Lord, now these Judaizers are coming in like invading wolves. And Paul was very zealous for the work of God. And maybe at times his letters to them seemed a bit scathing. But turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 8. "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision," or the Jews, "the same," meaning God, "was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." And so here, Paul tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Paul was God's man, especially chosen to bring the gospel message to the Gentiles. Paul was in his territory when he went to Greece and established a church in Corinth. And now these Judaizers coming, presumably from Jerusalem, are coming to interfere and upset the work that Paul had begun there. And Paul wasn't going to let them do it. Turn back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 in verse 2. What a heart Paul had for the work of God. He says in 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 2, about the church at Corinth, with all of their problems and difficulties, he says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Corinth was well within the parameters of Paul's ministry. God sent him there. It was under the leadership of the Holy Spirit that Paul established that church and led so many to the Lord. And now Paul views that work. He views that church as a young virgin, and he wants to present this virgin to Christ pure. He is jealous for this young virgin. He is jealous, just like a father handing over his daughter. He wants to make sure that there is purity involved here. And he wasn't going to allow the Judaizers to come in and to corrupt and to disrupt. So he says in verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. Paul says here that he wasn't exaggerating when he said that Corinth was within his measure. And I think what he's saying here, we use a very similar expression today. When somebody lies, we say, boy, they were stretching the truth. And Paul is saying that we're not stretching ourselves when we say that our ministry has reached unto you, that the church at Corinth was Paul's ministry. And he wasn't lying, he wasn't exaggerating, no matter what the Judaizers were trying to convince the church at Corinth to believe. Paul was not going beyond his ministry. He wasn't overstepping his authority by taking charge in the church at Corinth. And he goes on in verse 14 to say, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Now when Paul came to Corinth, what did he do? He started making tents and telling others about Christ. Look at his words in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 6. Paul says, I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Many men have ministered there. Paul was the one who did the foundational work. Paul was the one who planted that church there. And others came in like Apollos and preached the word there. And they were working together, but God was going to give the increase. But it's very clear here that Paul got that church started. Flip over to the next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Paul says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul was like a father to this church. He got the church started. He led many of them to Christ. He says, you maybe have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers in the faith, those who have begotten you through the gospel. And so Paul's heart went out to these people. He loved the church. He zealously wanted to protect it. Now flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 1. In 2 Corinthians, Paul has to begin in earnest to defend himself against the accusations of the Judaizers. And this must have broken his heart to have to do this. How humiliating. He says in verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves like the Judaizers were doing, patting themselves on the back, commending themselves, measuring themselves among themselves? He says, or need we, as some others, these false teachers coming in, do we really need epistles of commendation to you? Now, they came with all these important papers from Jerusalem, with important people backing them. And Paul says, do I really need to come to you with all this commendation from other men? I'm your father. I led you to the Lord. I got this church established. And then Paul says in verse 2, he says, you are our epistle. You're looking for a letter to commend the work of me and the other apostles? The church is that letter. The fact that you're saved is the indication that God has used me here. You know, there really shouldn't be any question about this fact, that Corinth was well within the parameters of Paul's ministry. He was the missionary. God chose to be the missionary to the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit sent him to this church. He led those folks to Christ. He established the church. He stayed there and got it on its feet. And now the Judaizers were coming into Corinth. And they were very much like an outsider, an intruder, coming into your family and telling your children what to do. And saying all kinds of bad things about you. You know, I think I'd be pretty upset if somebody did that in my family. I'd say, excuse me, but I'm this girl's father. You don't have any right to come in and tell my daughter what to do. I'm the one that gave birth to this child. I'll take care of her. God has appointed me to be her guardian. And this is what the Judaizers were doing. They were coming into Corinth. And they were trying to take over. They were trying to woo away the converts that Paul had made to their own twisted way of thinking. And Paul was very upset with them. He says, I'm not going to boast myself beyond my measure, but Corinth is my measure. This is my ministry. And he says in verse 15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is other men's labors. Paul was not going to boast about what other men have done. He was going to stick to the job to which God called him. But that's what the Judaizers were doing in Corinth. Paul was the one that went there originally, not them. Paul was the one who went there and sacrificed and made tents and preached the gospel. The Judaizers weren't there during this difficult stage of the work. Now these Johnny-come-latelys want to walk in, now that the foundation has been laid, and now that there's a group of believers there, and they want to take over. No wonder Paul's upset. You know, I'm sure we'd be upset if a group of people wanted to come in here and suddenly decide that, hey, let's turn this into a charismatic church. I'd be very upset. I'm jealous for the doctrine of this assembly. I'm zealous for where we stand, that we want to do things according to the Bible. Now, if they want to start a work down the street, that's up to them, but not here. And that's what Paul is dealing with when the Judaizers came in. Notice also in verse 15, he says, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you, according to our rule abundantly. Paul didn't come to Corinth boasting of what others have done and taking credit for it. Rather, Paul came hopeful. Remember that Paul sent Titus back to Corinth to deal with the issues there? And Titus came back rejoicing in the Lord that they were finally turning things around. They wanted to do things right. They said they were going to go in the right direction and deal with sin in the assembly. And Titus came back rejoicing. And Paul was thrilled. And so now Paul tells the Corinthians, I didn't come boasting like the Judaizers came. I came with hope. He came hopeful that more would be accomplished in that church. In spite of all the difficulties they've had thus far, Paul was hopeful that God was going to use them in the future. And he says here that he came hopeful that their faith would increase. Paul had high hopes for the church at Corinth. Yes, he wanted to see their faith grow and increase. And he also wanted to see the entire ministry enlarge, he says. He wants enlargement. Paul's goal for the church at Corinth was for them to receive the apostles, to receive the truth, and not go off on this tangent with the false teachers. And he wasn't saying this for his own personal advantage. It was for their good. And he wanted to see the ministry at Corinth, enlarged, become strong, become a vibrant testimony to the Lord. And it wasn't just so he could have another notch on his belt. It wasn't just for another trophy for him to say, wow, look what I did over there. No, what Paul really wanted was enlargement so that Corinth might be an outreach to reach more folks beyond that region. That was really on Paul's heart. He wanted to see all the Gentiles come to know Christ. If Corinth chose the truth and grew and became strong, they'd be able to establish other churches. They'd be able to send other missionaries out in the region beyond. And that was Paul's goal. But if Corinth fell, if they followed the false apostles, then they would be of zero value to God. No use whatsoever in spreading the gospel message in regions beyond. You know, I want to see our faith right here increase. I want to see enlargement in this assembly too. Not just for personal pleasure. Not just because it will make us feel good, but we ought to want this kind of growth, not for growth's sake, but for the testimony of the Lord. We want God to be able to use us to tell others so that Christ might be magnified. And so we ought to strive for this kind of enlargement. And how does it start? It starts when our faith is increased. When my personal faith in Christ grows and I'm more and more dedicated than ever to do what the Bible says, no matter what happens, when we have that kind of heart attitude, God can use us. And look what Paul says in verse 16. Here's his goal: to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. That's what he really wanted. And not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. What Paul really wanted was Corinth to be strong so that they could continue preaching the gospel to regions beyond. And Paul says in verse 16 that he wasn't going to boast of some other man's ministry, some other man's line of things. Made ready. Now this is really a dig for the Judaizers. This is exactly what they did. They waited in comfortable Jerusalem. They waited far off while Paul was making tents and preaching the gospel and suffering and sacrificing and dealing in a very difficult situation to establish this church. And now that Paul laid the foundation, now that another man has already set down the line of things, they're already made ready, they want to come in and take over. Now, it's not wrong to build on another man's foundation. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Some men plant, other men water. They ought to be working in harmony with each other. They ought to be working toward the same goal. Some men in the ministry are planters, church planters. That's what a missionary does. He may not stay in that particular place once the church is established, but somebody's got to go there and plant. And maybe as the church establishes, someone else will come there and water and take care of that fold. It's not wrong to build on another man's foundation as long as we're all working together. That wasn't the problem in Corinth. It wasn't the problem that the Judaizers were coming in and watering what Paul had planted. The problem there is that these waterers, the Judaizers, were coming in and taking credit for the planting as if it were their doctrine that had suddenly caused the church to turn around. And not only were they taking credit for Paul's planting the church, now they were trying to discredit Paul and turn the church against him. Paul was a pioneer missionary. He planted and he went on to another region. He never stayed too long in one place. And someone else came in and built upon the foundation that he laid. And that's fine. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way God designed it. As long as the ones who come in are building with the same kind of building stones of like precious faith. But that's not what the Judaizers were doing. No wonder Paul was upset. In verse 17, Paul says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Paul quotes from the Old Testament, and you know, he picked exactly the right verse. Now, it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. But turn back to Jeremiah chapter 9. You know, this is exactly what these false teachers, these Judaizers, needed to hear. Remember how the Judaizers came to Corinth? They came all puffed up. They were patting one another on the back. They came with all letters of recommendation for each other. It was like their own club. And Fred wrote a letter of recommendation for Tom, and Tom wrote one for Fred, and in that little circle, they all looked great. And they begin measuring themselves by their own man-made standards. And in the group, they all look wonderful. Paul was outside the group, and he looked miserable from their standards. They were glorying in how well they kept their own standards. And they patted themselves on the back for all of their accomplishments. Paul quotes loosely from Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. And there Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man, or the one who thinks he's wise, glory in his wisdom," which is exactly what these Judaizers were doing. "Neither let the mighty man glory in his might." Oh, they gloried in all the power and clout that they seemed to have. "And let not the rich man glory in his riches." Poor Paul, he was just a tent maker. "But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, who exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." These false teachers came boasting about how many converts they had. And where did they get them? They were stealing them from Paul, taking credit for another man's labor. And then they were commending themselves for how many sheep they had. Paul says the only legitimate form of boasting is this: when we glory in the Lord. That's the only thing we should be proud about. That's the only thing we should glory in. We know Him. That should cause us to be exulting, to be rejoicing, to glory in. One man plants, another man waters, but it's God who gives the increase. If anything good was ever going to happen in Corinth or in Salem, New Hampshire, it's because God gave the increase. And therefore, He's the one we should glory in. Now, back in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 18, Paul concludes the chapter with this. He says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved." That's exactly what these false teachers were doing. Commending themselves, measuring themselves among themselves, patting themselves on the back for how well they kept the rules that they themselves made up. And Paul says, the one that does that is not approved. But here's the one who's approved, whom the Lord commended. And God doesn't use their standard. God doesn't use their yardstick. They can commend themselves all they want. They can congratulate themselves all they want. But ultimately, there's only one thing that matters. And that is, when we stand before God, what we ought to desire is a "well done, thou good and faithful servant" from Him. Self-commendation, self-approval, or even self-approval within a group means absolutely nothing. It is only the approval of God that matters. Jesus said, it is human nature for men to be love honor from men. Jesus rebuked over and over again the scribes and the Pharisees because they loved to do things so that everybody would see them and they'd get some applause from people. Here Paul says none of that matters. It might be impressive to men. And it was to the Judaizers, and for many in Corinth, they were starting to be very persuasive. But now Paul ends this section by saying, none of that matters. The only thing ultimately that matters is how God views it. Oh, we can pat each other on the back if we want, but it's so much better to be approved of the Lord. The false teachers were going to be applauded by men on earth, but they would receive nothing from the Lord. When Paul got there, he was going to receive a crown of glory, and nobody could take it away from him. Things seemed so much in reverse. Here was Paul. He was being put down. He wasn't the strongest or the biggest man. He wasn't the best speaker. And he didn't seem to have all the important backing that the Judaizers had. He was just a nobody, a lowly little tent maker preaching this message. And he really looked like nothing compared to these important looking people. And the Greeks were in Corinth were about to be drawn away by that. And now Paul just lays it all out on the table. He exposes their hypocrisy for what they really were. And I hope as we look at these words of Paul, we don't see a mean old grumpy man who's got an axe to grind against everybody. Rather, I hope what we see in here is a man who really loves his people, who loves the flock of God and isn't going to let anybody enter in and corrupt it. He is jealous for this virgin. He's going to stand up for what's right. And that ought to be our attitude here. We need to jealously guard what God has given us. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul and his love for you. And we thank you, Father, for the example that he is to us in that he was a follower of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have that same kind of love for your work that he demonstrated. And we ask this in Jesus' name. How about another favor? Ralph.